to a woman to the end of his days, and he shall die in his chains.
That was A.L. Kennedy on Powell and Pressburger's film I Know Where I'm Going. This week's essay series was produced by Justine Willett.
On Radio 3, Opera on 3. Angela Georgiou in a work she has long championed, Puccini's La Rondinée at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden.
You'll see, I will dance, I will sing, there are waltzes, but there are also a tragedy. It's a sort of La Traviata, you'll see, and it's sad, but I'm not dying. That's so good.
Monday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
We're on 90 to 93 FM, we're on digital radio and we're live online. It's 11 o'clock and now World on 3 with Lopa Qatari.
Well, tonight it's World on 3 with a difference. I don't know if you can hear the boats in the background, but I am sat here on the banks of the River Thames. The sound of cinema season is in full swing here on BBC Radio 3. And tonight we're making our own contribution with a portrait of Indian film composer A.R. Rahman. And right here on London's South Bank, the Durbar Festival of Indian Classical Music is also in full swing. So the second hour of the programme will be devoted to performances recorded at the festival by musicians from both North and South India. The wonderful voice of Carnatic singer Sudha Raghunathan and the ecstatic sitar playing of Buddhaditya Mukherjee. But first, A.R. Rahman. A few weeks ago, I went over to Chennai in South India to visit his studios and also to see the music conservatory that he set up to nurture a new generation of Indian film musicians. A.R. Rahman is best known outside of India for his music for the Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire. And the most famous song in that film is Jai Ho.
आजा आजा जिंद शामी आने के तले आजा जरी वाले नीले आसमाने के तले
जय हो
आजा आजा जिंद शामी आने के तले आजा जरी वाले नीले आसमाने के तले नच कोयलों पे रात बिताई है अखियों की नींद मैंने फूकों से उड़ा दी गिन गिन तारे मैंने उंगली जलाई है
The tide of development leaves no city untouched, and here in India, Chennai is no different from any other. The capital of Tamil Nadu, in the south of India, Chennai has its share of high-rise buildings, swanky new hotels, and horrendous traffic jams as roads are dug up to build bottleneck-busting flyovers and to make way for the new Madras Metro Rail Link. But don't worry, much of fabulous old India is still here. And what better symbol of it than the auto rickshaws, still offering the best way to get around, but now sporting a new green livery, less emissions for a carbon-conscious India. If the auto rickshaw is a symbol of evolution, then A.R. Rahman is a symbol of revolution. His love of music and fascination with technology has totally transformed the Indian film industry, and in doing so, he's popularized it around the world. His music for Hollywood and Western films has won him 2 Oscars and a BAFTA and made him a global star. And he's still pushing through his revolutionary ways. One of the projects he's been involved with is India's first animated feature film, and naturally it's a musical. But the heart of what he does is still here in India, in Chennai. He started his very own music conservatory, where he hopes one day he can record a full orchestral score with his very own homegrown orchestra. And we're heading now to where it all began, to the AM Studios, where in 1992 he produced his first musical score for the film Roja. We're off to Kodambakkam, Chennai's film district. It's the place that put the K into Kollywood.
जाने मन तू ही मेरा दिल तुझ बिन तरसे नैना दिल से न जाती है यारे तुम्हारी कैसे तुम बिन जीना आंखों में तू है आंसू में तू है आंखें बंद कर लो तो मन में भी तू है ख्वाबों में तू सांसों में तू रोजा जाने मन.
The original LP cover for the soundtrack of Roja shows a very fresh-faced A.R. Rahman, still in his early 20s, smiling and clutching his electronic keyboard close to his chest. Now, up until then, Rahman had been composing jingles for adverts. And at an awards ceremony where he won Best Jingle for a coffee ad, he was approached by the Tamil film director Mani Ratnam. He was looking for a fresh musical approach for his new film, a love story set against the background of terrorist violence in Kashmir. But as A.R. Rahman told me as he started work on Roja, he decided that a career in films was the last thing he wanted.
At that point of time, I was in a way rebellious that this is my last movie. I don't want to do anymore.
Back then?
Because I was a very successful commercial composer and I was getting my money on that. And I hated the movie scores those times because it was very, when you're young, you want to just explore. You want to go all over the place, right? And sometimes the traditions limit you to think in a certain way and say, oh, this is how it is. And so at that point of time, Roja was my explosive thing about creativity. Somebody saying, go as much as you can. You want to go till the sky? Fine, I'll hold you. So that's kind of security which Mani Ratnam gave me. And I knew that the other people were not like that. But when people came for the next movies, all the questions which I had in my mind were answered. They would never ask me to do something which is not me. Most of the times it worked, but sometimes people hated it.
Roja was a huge success, both as a film and as a soundtrack. Many Rahman fans in India still name it as their favourite. And in 2005, Time magazine named Rahman's score as among the 10 best movie soundtracks of all time, along with Bernstein's On the Waterfront and Bernard Herrmann's music for Citizen Kane. Here's broadcaster and Bollywood specialist Jamila Siddiqui.
The advent of Roja was such a massive impact around the world, not just in India, because remember, the diaspora has grown around the world and people follow film and film music very religiously. What Rahman did, if I was to say one thing that he brought or returned or gifted, and he literally is God's gift to Indian film music, is melody. Rahman reminded us that there was such a thing as melody. Film music had become really, really a banal kind of very poor imitation of what they thought was Western music. Rahman returned the melodic element in such a way that the Indianness of it was apparent, and yet the foreign influences were high up there, but they were not poor imitations of foreign music. They were actually inspirations taken, added to his knowledge of he's very extensively knowledgeable on the South Indian Carnatic classical tradition. He has a thorough understanding of North Indian music as well as Western music. All of these elements are very obvious. So Rahman brought what I can only describe as freshness. Particular song in Roja, Chinna Chinna Aasi, that is the original song of innocence, because the lyrics are about the very tender wishes and dreams and fantasies of a young girl. Musically, syllable by syllable, the tenderness is matched. Now that was the most amazing thing for anyone listening to it technically or carefully, the way the words were placed. It's very simple, very straight, there's nothing complex about it, but it takes all those tender feelings in a nutshell and gives it to you like this is something very old, classical, it's been inside you for ages, and yet it's completely new.
In 1998, Mani Ratnam and A.R. Rahman teamed up again, this time with the idea of stepping out of Kollywood, the South Indian Tamil film industry, and invading Bollywood with a movie in Hindi starring emerging Bollywood star Shah Rukh Khan. It was called Dil Se. And Rahman brought a new sound into his music right from the opening number, Cheya Cheya, which took the Indian custom of riding on the tops of trains and turned it into a full-on production number.
चल छैया 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 चल छैया 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 चल छैया 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 चल छैया 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 चल छैया 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 चल छैया 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 सारे इश्क की छाव चल छैया छैया सारे इश्क की छाव चल छैया पाओ जन्नत चले चल छैया छैया पाओ जन्नत चले चल छैया चल छैया 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 वो यार है जो खुशबू की तरह जिसकी जुबान उर्दू की तरह मेरी शाम रात मेरी कायनात वो यार मेरा सैया सैया Chaiya, 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 chai
Chaiya Chaiya, and generally the music for the film Dil Se, it took Rahman to newer heights. Dil Se produced a new sophistication of a kind that certainly made even the really hard taskmaster stop and take notice. And the main thing in the music of Dil Se was the Sufi element, the rhythmic Sufi element. I spoke to Rahman some years ago, and he openly admitted that he had been very, very, very influenced by the late Qawwali maestro, the Sufi music maestro, Ustad Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. And the late Nusrat, of course, had a habit of going through the solfa syllables in a rhythmic way, what you would roughly call staccato. Rahman took this totally on board and used a similar technique, but without being an imitation. This was Rahman's beauty, that whatever he took to his heart and let it inspire him. He never simply copied it and recycled it and churned it out. And of course, Chaiya Chaiya, I think it'll be immortal because of that fast-moving train and the dancers on top of the fast-moving train. I mean, no regard for health and safety at all there. The rhythm is arranged so that you've got the old steam train motion, and yet there's a lot of action, not just up front. It's happening all through the depth, all through the focus. You can see something or the other happening. Syncopated rhythms, cross-clapping. And Rahman's music demanded very high-quality movement. It actually, Chaiya Chaiya, more than a song and its music, it revolutionized the way songs were visualized and picturized in Indian films.
It's a culmination of many things. My first step into, Sufi kind of music, the poetry of Baba Bhule Shah, which was the inspiration for that, and a voice like Sukhvinder Singh, who was Punjabi, but yet so, it was so new, the combination. And when that happens and we're all excited, that people are going to get excited too.
How important is your faith in what you do? Does it impact on how you work and how you approach your music?
I think it's the foundation for me. Because we do stupid things in life when we are insecure and when we don't have anything to catch on. And that's the reason people commit suicide, because they've lost hope in life, and or they go crazy having drugs because they're so successful. So for me, the spirituality and understanding about something much larger than all of us put together is one of the things which drives me and makes me grounded in a way, and also fly in a way where I don't care about anything. I have only one person to answer to, and it's my conscience. It's how true I am to myself and to what I'm doing.
Sufi Qawwali music has continued to be a huge influence in Rahman's music since Dil Se. So it's not surprising that it plays a central role in Rahman's new conservatory in Chennai. Here's Jyoti Nair, who's a senior manager at the conservatory and who takes care of the conservatory's own Qawwali ensemble. She sees powerful spiritual links between film music and Qawwali.
Film music, per se, is something not different from Qawwali. So what is Qawwali? Now, Qawwali comes from the word call, which was the message of Prophet Muhammad. When Islam came to be propagated in the subcontinent, they used to do Qawwali only to the accompaniment of daf. That was a kind of a percussion instrument. And there was no singing. But with the passage of time, with the coming of Hazrat Amir Khusro, you know, Qawwali took a shape. And now it's such an enjoyable genre and very much, what would you say, venerated. And Sufi Qawwali is something which revolves around dedication to the Lord and maybe to the guru, the teacher.
So basically what you're saying is that the spirit and the passion behind Qawwali music is very much the spirit and passion that's in film and in the romance and the love of film.
Yes, I think Qawwali is an extension of that romance. Mm-hmm. In the film, we have what is called secular romance, man and a woman relationship. But in Sufi Qawwali, which is the hallmark of this school, we have the same kind of relationship between man and God. Whether it's mysticism of Christianity, whether it's Sufism of Islam, or whether it is the Vedanta of Hinduism, they all are seeking for union with the God within themselves, a kind of yoking up with the God, the person you love or the person you worship. So Sufi Qawwali in that sense is something like an extension where you have moved on from a man-woman relationship to a man-God relationship.
And you say it's a cornerstone, it's one of the cornerstones of this conservatory.
See, initially, as you said in the beginning, that Mr. Rahman, A.R. Rahman brought Qawwali into films and everybody was singing those beautiful tunes. But in the conservatory, it was Fatima ji, his sister, Fatima Rafiq, who thought that we should build our own Qawwali. Besides the children singing the pieces which Rahman ji has done in his films, there are quite a few of them now, about 8 to 10, these Sufi numbers. We have also evolved our own numbers. We've also come up with traditional numbers, so also with the newly written stuff which are done by Munna Shaukat Ali, he's a lyricist. And the whole school is free to sing Qawwali. We don't charge them for this. So now it's become one of the high points of our program. And everybody who learns, whether it's Western classical or Hindustani classical, gets a chance to sing the Qawwali.
मैं तेरा बंदा हूँ मौला तू है मालिक दोनों आलम का है मेरे दाता है मेरे मौला है मेरे दाता है मेरे मौला दिल को आईना बना दे जिसमें हो ईमान का चेहरा है मेरे दाता
That was the KM Conservatory's Qawwali group with a song from Rahman's music for the 2005 film Mangal Pandey about the Indian uprising of 1857. So Qawwali music, Indian classical and traditional music, Western film music and Western pop, they're all powerful ingredients in Rahman's musical mix. But as he says, right there at the centre of his musical soul is Western classical music.
I started playing piano first, and it was quite boring in the beginning for me. The teacher used to come at 6 o'clock, and he was like very sleepy, sitting and smelling his coffee.
6 in the morning?
6 in the morning.
You're kidding me, 6 in the morning.
And then I had to go to school. Okay, yeah. I was 10 or 11. But what it gave me is a better understanding on Western classical music about harmony, chords, and everything is a branch of classical music in a way. It helped me to tolerate many things.
What do you mean by tolerate?
If I put classical music to for people who don't understand, whether it's Carnatic or Western, they say, oh, it's so boring, come on, let's put something which is fast-paced, which has got a beat in it. And they find it boring because they don't understand. They don't understand the roots of it sometimes, which make them feel bored. And that's this whole cause of me starting a conservatory is to pull in more talent and more exposure for Western classical harmony and orchestration and music history and counterpoint and all this stuff. So the generation which comes after me goes further rather than rotting into the DJ mode or electronic mode where they just drag drop loops and make, oh, I made music. And not that it's bad, it's lots of fun, but when you lose the core of music understanding, you don't nurture it and you just zap it and go to something which is very convenient. I understood that back 10 years back, and it was one of my dreams to start a school where all these musicians coming out could take film music to a whole new level, or music to a whole new level.
So that track we've just heard is the theme tune for Bombay, the film in 1995.
The film Bombay in 1995.
Srinivas Murthy, tell me a little bit about yourself and about that track in particular.
I'm Srinivas Murthy, and I've been working with Rehman since his first film, 91, Roja. I'm his conductor. We had a common mutual interest in electronics even before we started together. Perhaps that's what brought us together, and we still keep going. And the music that we just heard was from a theme from Bombay. I was also a part of it as conductor of the whole string section there. And I remember that day, the recording went on and on and on till 2 in the morning. Unfortunately for us, God bless all of us, that was a big hit. The film itself was a big hit. All the songs were hit. And this theme music became a super hit.
So when you say that you're Rahman's conductor, is it the string section? Is it this live string section that you're conducting?
Exactly. We do not have the luxury of having a whole symphony orchestra here in India. Like a whole brass section is not available. We only have a couple of trumpets, trombones, and a few horns just now available to us. Even woodwinds, we only have flutes. Hence, what is available to us, we go with that. And we have a decent, very decent string section here who are regularly with us. And we also blend that with so many other Indian instruments.
How did strings become such a central part of the sound of the film industry? I mean, without strings, the Indian film industry would not have
of
this
course.
Character,
of course,
I don't think.
Yes.
I mean, but as you say, it's not really indigenous to India's music traditions.
Yes, yes. What do we have very predominantly in Indian films? We have all sorts of emotions, a family drama, the action things and everything. And like we all know, strings, the section, the string section, violin, viola, cellos and bass, they are the ones who can bring out all emotions to the utmost perfection. You can use a string section to bring out any sort of emotion, which perhaps is little difficult in other instruments, of course. In electronics, you know, you cannot bring out as effectively as you bring out on strings. We can bring out everything and anything on a string section.
Let's talk about the conservatory. This is a step towards filling that gap, that need for professionals.
See, Rahman always wanted to have a symphony orchestra here. We have talked about it many a times, Rahman and me too. I'm talking about 20 years. We are together since 20 years, now 20, 21 years. We could feel the lack of instruments there, lack of those, the complete sound of an orchestra. It's still, of course, missing. That's how the conservatory was started, because of, to fill in that gap. We have about 46 of them right now. They are undergoing training for various instruments. Only late last night, Rahman was talking to me about starting off with brass section also. We call them Sunshine Orchestra. We have already named them Sunshine Orchestra. We want all of them to shine like sun. That's our wish.
The main common room here at the KM Music Conservatory is always abuzz with students chatting, rehearsing, studying, making plans. Rahman set up the conservatory in 2008, uniquely combining studies in classical and popular music from both the West and India. The teaching staff come from across the world, and recently they started an arrangement where students spend a year at Middlesex University in London. The conservatory's first graduates received their degrees this year.
Hello everybody, I'm Fatima Rafiq. I'm A.R. Rahman's sister. I'm taking care of his KM Music Conservatory, which is in Chennai. And my role in KM Music Conservatory is like in the absence of my brother, like he's very busy. So I have to take care of the day-to-day running of the conservatory.
So what were the aims of the conservatory?
It's to get the international standards of Western classical music, the exposure to the Indian students. And also like, we don't have a symphony orchestra in Chennai, basically, also in India, I'm not sure. But my brother wanted to bring it here. Hmm. So this was his main aim. And we also have an outreach program where like we teach the poor kids for free. So they're all learning strings, viola, violin, cello, and everything for free. And by God's grace, it's happening very well.
Where do the students come from? Are they coming mainly from Chennai?
For the full-time program, like they are mainly from like all over the world. Now, like we get students from USA, and then Canada, Malaysia, Singapore.
Are they of Indian origin?
Yeah,
predominantly.
Yeah, I mean the major part. I think most around like 90% of them are from India, but not from South, not from Tamil Nadu. Mm. They are from Delhi, Bombay, Gujarat, and North side. Only, I think right now, like we've got 90% of the North Side students here.
So is this a way of showing an older generation, your mothers and fathers in general, that music is a good profession, it's a good career to be in?
Yes, of course. I feel so because here now it is the parents like who are bringing their children to come and learn here because they had seen all the engineering stuff, they had seen the medicine stuff, and nowadays parents, they think that they don't want to pressurize their children. So they also come and the thing, like they themselves bring their children and put here. And even like most of the students like who are into engineering, some of the parents like they said, you do the engineering and then come and do. But most of the children, you know, like they quit in the second year or third year and they come and join here. But initially, like after 1 year doing the foundation course, they are getting awesome results. They become a composer. They become a singer.
There's enough work for them out there, is there?
Yeah, of course. See, now earlier, like we had like what to say, like only one channel in FM or one. Now we've got a lot of the thing, like, you know, a lot of media, the thing work is there. And a lot of movies are taking, even like what to say, short budget, big budget movies. They always want new faces. They always want new music directors. So there's quite a lot of this thing, like job opportunities for them. And they also like perform with Rehman. The best ones go to him.
Neela ka girad, neeram te girad, yaarum rasikkavillaye. Endan kangal mattum unnai kaanum. காற்று வீசும் வெயில் காயும் காயும் அதில் மாற்றம் ஏதும் இல்லை ஆவானும் மண்ணும் நம்மை வாழச் சொல்லும் அந்த வாழ்த்து ஓயவில்லை என்றென்றும் வானில்
Hello, I'm Abhinav Sridharan. I've been a part of KAME from its first year in the year 2008. Then for the last year, I went to Middlesex University to do my last year of degree over there, bachelor's degree. So I'm just back from London after my course.
Abhinav, did you study music before you came here?
Yes, my mother is a musician. She's a doctorate in Carnatic music, the South Indian classical music. And I've been learning from her from the age of 3 and a half, 4.
So what made you come to the conservatory?
Because I had listened to very little of Western classical music before, and I was very much interested in the production of voice, the projection and everything. So that was like very fascinating to me. So, and here we had teachers from all over the world. So this was a great thing started by Rehman sir for like bringing up Western classical music in India. And that has helped a lot in Indian music performance also.
The fact that it is A.R. Rahman's conservatory and his project, has that made it easier for you to pursue your passion for music?
Yes, a lot, because he cares a lot for music, because he himself being a musician, he takes care of all of us, like providing all the facilities and the pianos and string instruments, everything, whatever we need, all the instruments are over here. So we all feel happy. We have a lot of place to perform, to practice, to like all of us meet here, like because people are there from all over the country who are studying over here. So it's a nice cultural exchange for all of us. Yeah.
Do your parents think now that this is a good profession to be in? It's a real profession?
Yes, because I was doing my engineering studies and I did it for 2 years. And that was when KAME Conservatory started. So I discontinued my engineering studies and I joined here. And they were also very supportive. Like, because my mother being a musician and my father also is very knowledgeable in music. So they were very supportive.
How has it been embracing a different method of learning from the Indian classical, the Carnatic, South Indian classical, to the Western, and even the Hindustani classical?
Yeah. Before coming here, 2-3 years before joining KAME, I started my Hindustani lessons also. And even Carnatic and Hindustani are very different in the way of teaching. Western classical music focuses so much on the techniques that it helps a lot in performing Indian music, because the way you are made to sing, it's not just from the throat, it's like with the whole body. And when you perform Indian music, it also helps a lot in this, because of these techniques.
Do you want to be involved in the film industry?
Yes, I want to be involved, but I want to bring up the classical music more. I feel that classical music has to be popularized a little more, and it can surely be done through films, because that's the most popular genre over here now.
So we're going to hear one of A.R. Rahman's songs. Yes. Tell us something about it and about the recording.
This was done with the Babelsberg Cinema Orchestra. They were from Germany. And this was a series of concerts which happened here all over India and also in Germany. And we did a recording of all the songs over upstairs in the AM studio. This song is from the movie Mangal Pandey. It's the background track of the battle scene.
That was Abhinav Sridharan singing in the chorus in the music from the battle scene from Mangal Pandey. Well, as Abhinav said, it's not far from the conservatory to Rahman's state-of-the-art AM studios. In fact, it's just one floor up.
When your company not pay us money, you today die.
Yeah, hi. My name is Krishna, and I'm working as sound engineer in AM Studios. And I'm just going to introduce you to the new technology that we are using in our film post studio. And it's called Auro 3D, and it's also called as Auro 11.1 format. Basically, there are two layers, one lower layer of 5.1, higher layer of 5.1. Plus, we got an extra channel of Voice of God on the top. Combined together, we call it as Auro 3D. And we are just finished mixing our first Auro 3D sound for the film called Marianne, where Rahman sir has done the music for it, and it's directed by Bharat Bala. Let's just hear the trailer of Marianne.
Marianne is one of Rahman's new films for 2013, based on the true story of three oil workers from Tamil Nadu who were kidnapped in Sudan by mercenaries. Krishnan is just putting the finishing touches to the soundtrack. Now, although Krishnan himself didn't come from the conservatory, in fact, he learned his trade in Wales, working for the BBC on Doctor Who. There are, of course, a good few ex-students who are now assisting Rahman at the studio.
Hi, I'm Jerry Vincent. I currently work with Rahman sir as an arranger, score writer and audio engineer in Chennai here. And I'm also a pass out from his KM Music Conservatory. I completed my composition piano major in the year 2009.
Jerry, you work very closely with Rahman, putting the music together with the films.
Yes.
And at the moment you're working on one that's coming out really shortly,
yes.
Marianne.
Yes.
Use this film to explain how this process works.
So when he's composing, none of us should be around because we don't want to distract him. So he just puts on a headphone and he's just at work. And we don't know when it has happened because he either does it very late night or early morning, all by himself. And then later on, we are all excited what's happened. And we go and open the recent session and check out what's coming up new. So then... that's how it goes. So he finishes composing the songs, Then we have many arrangers. I'm not the only one. There are many others also who work with him. So he knows which type of track or song should go to which kind of arranger. So he'll like give them guidance. Do this, do this, do this. And then we'll do it and we show it to him. And again, he sits on it and he goes on improving it. And this happens over a few months until he feels that the song is polished enough. So in the beginning, the song is a scratch that he gets approval of the director, and then he goes on building, 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 and then in the end, sometimes it's quite different from what it started, and sometimes it's just a better version of what we started off with. Yeah, and he mostly, he does 90 to 95% of the work himself, so we just come in the last little bit, embellishing and things.
So Jerry, how do you decide which instruments, what to do on the synthesizers, what to do on acoustic instruments? Tell me something about the process of that. Yeah.
So these days, mostly we use softwares to compose or to arrange. So we've got a bank of instruments. So if I want, say the movie is happening in Africa, like in the case of Marianne, so I would use African instruments. So I would look for those kind of instruments in my bank, and then I would start fiddling around with the keyboard. And then I would see what comes up. So we don't write score first, we play, arrange everything on the software with the keyboard MIDI, by using MIDI. And then later on, if you have to go live, we would write score and give it to the live musician. And in India, we usually don't have to write score so much for the musicians because they've got very good ears. So they just hear it once and they just are being able to play it. And sometimes they play it better than what's written, like in terms of expression and things like that. But for strings, we arrange it on the computer and then we write the score because they're a big ensemble. And we recorded it here in AM Studio. And so there are 32 to 40 people. So then we give them the parts. And this conductor, Murthy sir, he writes, he conducts also. And we record the strings here.
At what point does the actual visual come into the process?
Okay, so in India, we have got a lot of musicals. So you've got a lot of songs in the movies. So we finish the songs first. And sometimes we do the songs with the visuals because if the visuals have to be in a certain way, we have to do the songs with the visuals, but mostly it's not. So then the songs are finished first. And then towards the end, when the editing, the shooting, everything's over, we get the visuals. And we sit with the visuals. Sir sits with the director. He takes notes of what to do and what not to do with the visuals. And then he starts working. And then he gives us those cues. And he says, do this with this. I want Sordino strings on this. Develop it in this direction. So he gives us guidance and we sit. And we have all different workstations in the studio. So we put on our headphones and we start working. And then we go and show it to him. And then he says, okay, if it works, it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. And so we'll have to redo. We have to do many versions. And sometimes it works for him and doesn't work for the director. So then again, we have to redo and things like that. So it goes on. It's a process, but it's fun.
So once all the songs are done and they, because it, the CD of the music of the film
yes.
is always released ahead of the
yes.
film coming out.
Yes.
So once that's done, then how long do you have in general to get the rest of the background music done to the film?
It varies from every movie. Like in the case of Marianne, we had a month.
Is that a long time or a short time? I'm not sure how fast people work in the industry here.
It's good time. It's
enough time.
It's enough time. And the advantage of releasing the CD before is the crowd gets familiar with the tunes, and when they go into the theater, they know what songs they're expecting. And often what we do for the background score is we take the themes from the song and say if it's the love song, and then they're separated. So we would take the same theme and make it slower and rearrange it in such a way that the love theme feels like sad and that they're missing each other, things like that we could do. So we're just playing around with the themes.
நேற்று அவள் இருந்தாள் அவளோடு நானும் இருந்தேன்
ஹே மரியா வா
நேற்று அவள் இருந்தாள் அவளோடு நானும்
இருந்தேன்
காற்றெல்லாம் அவள் தென்குரலாயிருந்தது. மணலெல்லாம் அவள் கூடலாய் மலர்ந்தது. நேற்று அவள் இருந்தாள், அவளோடு நானும் இருந்தேன். காற்றெல்லாம் அவள் தேங்குரலாயிருந்தது. மணலெல்லாம் அவள் பூடலாய் மலர்ந்தது.
The love duet from Mariam, one of Rahman's newest creations, made with a little help from the graduates of his KM Music Conservatory. So for him, has the conservatory been a success?
The piano players and the singers are all up there. They are all transformed, and you see when they come in and during audition and when they go out, you see the transformation, and it's amazing to see that. And they are part of my band. Sometimes they sing. And we also have a Sufi ensemble now, and they've sung a mainstream song now with Ranjana. So in different parts of the conservatory is already successful, and some of them are composers already. But my main task is to create this orchestra, which is the most difficult one.
Well, you strike me as somebody who, I think you said it earlier on, that you want to get in there, do it, and leave. And so to actually create an orchestra, you must be pretty frustrated at times, because it just doesn't happen that quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, and it requires a lot of money. Yeah. And right now, it's mostly driven by, what money I earn, I put in that. But it's very satisfying, because music has given me everything, for my family, for my father, for me. And now my nephew is doing music, my son's learning piano. And so, in a way, it's gratifying that you're giving it back and shaping out a whole new generation. So it's a great process, and it's so good to see young people around with so much of, dreams in their eyes, and it's beautiful.
So Rahman has never strayed far from his Tamil roots in Chennai, yet he's been a huge success around the world. His Oscar-winning music for Danny Boyle's Slumdog Millionaire sealed his reputation in the West. And in 2010, Danny Boyle invited him to write music for his next Hollywood film, 127 Hours, a film that's got absolutely no connections with India at all. We'll end with the final song from that film, If I Rise, in which Rahman himself duets with the English singer Dido. The song won an Academy Award nomination. It's a song that is at the same time complex and simple. As Rahman says, academic learning, engineering, wizardry, and sublime compositional technique, well, you can never have enough of it. But sometimes, maybe, you can have too much.
Even now I feel that my learning is not enough to really achieve what my mind says. But one part of me says that learning is not about the structure or the rules of music. It's about understanding the soul of music. It's about getting what is that which is unsaid, which you can bring back to music. And that's what a song is about. And if you know that, if you can spot that magic, you have a great song. And it's not by learning great taranas and great tumris and great rags, and but to understand what is the bridge to the soul, what is the bridge to your heart, even if it's just two words and if it's sung in a certain way. And this is the thing which you're constantly finding and constantly losing. It's a fight. You have to be so alert to understand where that magic is and just hold on to it. Wait, all of you go away. I want only this. And this is what makes me feel very good.
The closing song from the film 127 Hours, ending our World on Three portrait of A.R. Rahman, which we recorded in Chennai and London as part of BBC Radio 3's Sound of Cinema season. So how do we follow that? Well, let's go back to Rahman's deepest musical roots, to the ancient classical traditions of South India. The singer Sudhaa Raghunathan lives in Rahman's hometown, Chennai. But last weekend, she was here in London for the annual Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music. Radio 3 was there too. And so for the rest of the programme, we'll be bringing you highlights of two performances from the festival. Later on, the sitar of Pandit Buddhaditya Mukherjee in a concert which certainly lived up to its billing of Sitar on Fire. But first, Sudhaa Raghunathan. Here she is in a duet with violinist Jyotsna Srikanth, a song dedicated to the goddess Lakshmi.
Da 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 Yeah.
Outstanding voice of Sudha Raghunathan and the first part of Rag Shankarabharanam, and she was accompanied there by Carnatic violinist Jyotsna Srikanth. Sudha, tell me first a little bit about the words you were singing there. Mahalakshmi.
Mahalakshmi is the goddess of prosperity and wealth. She is also the wife of, you know, the Lord Narayana, who kind of is the person who takes care of the welfare of everyone's life. This is what the composer says in the words, that the mother who is sitting by Vishnu on the waves of the ocean, show me your compassion and come to me and bless me with your gentleness. It's quite complicated. But then, you know, the composer so adeptly kind of shrinks all of this into just two lines.
And that actually is the beauty of so much Indian poetry. You know, to describe that one sentence can take an entire essay.
And yet you wouldn't get the precision of what he meant to say.
And that was a composition by?
Papanasam
by
Shivan.
Papanasam. Yeah. This is the first time you've performed at Durbar. Did you enjoy it? How did it feel to you? It's a very different audience, I would imagine.
Yes. It was a challenge, certainly, because singing to an audience which is completely knowledgeable in Carnatic music is much easier, because they know what you're going to deliver. If you sing a raga Todi or you sing a raga Purvi Kalyani, they know it's Purvi Kalyani. You know, you don't have to explain. They're just happy listening to the melodic aspect, to the rhythmic aspect, to the manodharmic aspect. But when you sing to an audience, as in Darbar, it's an audience that knows and not knows the particular discipline that you are performing. Hence, I think it's our responsibility to, should we say, educate them on that. And that was the reason why I even ventured to mention the name of the ragas and even kind of give a small insight into the content of what the lyrics held, because the lyrics were in Sanskrit or Tamil or Kannada or Telugu. I mean, you just sing, it doesn't sometimes touch, but when you tell them that this is the feeling that the composer had when he wrote this particular composition, then you get into that mood, you know, it plays, that particular conversation that I have with them plays in their mind as I sing the composition, and it seems like they are into the music. Otherwise they seem a little alienated.
Yeah. Well, we're now going to hear the second part of the rag Shankarabhanam, and you're doing it in 7 beats. I love counting. And I thought maybe we could give the audience a little bit of a lesson in how to count to 7, see if anybody makes it to the end. So how do you count 7 in this piece?
It's a question of concentration, focus, and of course, a willingness to get into that format. 7 beats is known as Mishra Chapu, and the way we go about it is takitta, you know? That gives you the takitta. And then takadimmi. Takitta, takadimmi, takitta, takadimmi, Mahalakshmi, takadimmi, takitta. That's it. It's so simple. You just get the takitta, takadimmi in your head, and then you start to put the beats, it'll flow.
Well, he's hoping I make it to the final 7.
You will.
So that's been an absolute pleasure to meet you.
My pleasure too.
So here we have Rag Shankarabhanam. Sudha Raghunathan is joined by Jyotsna Srikanth on Carnatic violin, Aryan Prakash on Ghatam, Patri Satish Kumar on Mradangam, and Krituka Nadaraja on Tanpura. Thank you.
Thank you. Magari zari ga ma ba, magari zari ga ma ba, zari ga ma ba, zari ga ma ba, ga ma ba, ta ma ba.
That was Sudha Raghunathan with Jyotsna Srikanth on violin, Patri Satish Kumar on drum, the mridangam, and R.N. Prakash playing the ghatam, the clay pot. In World on 3 next week, we'll be back to our usual format where Marianne Kennedy introduces new tracks of world music and hosts a live session with the Turkish singer Çiğdem Aslan. So we'll end this special edition of World on 3 with Sitar on Fire. Metaphorically, at least, no Jimi Hendrix-style stagecraft here, but a sitar player on a rare appearance in the UK. And Pandit Buddhaditya Mukherjee has an intriguing claim to a place in history.
It was my privilege to become the first artist in history to play in the House of Commons on the 30th of June, 1990.
Oh, wow.
And it was even more a matter of pride for me that the first artist happened to be an Indian, and that Indian was me.
How did that come about? How did they come to you?
Oh, it was, I was having a tour. My tour was on at that time, and Mr. Keith Vaz is a famous MP from Leicester.
Keith Vaz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had been his dream child to have Indian music in the House of Commons. Somebody told him that, why don't you go and listen to this artist? So my concert was being held in the Phoenix Theatre at Leicester. I was introduced to him. We had a very short communication. He asked me, will you play in the House of Commons? I said yes. The conversation was over.
Yes. It was not even put to a vote.
But I remember it was an experience for me. Because we played in the visitors' dining room just across the pit.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Well, this morning's performance, the title of the performance mm-hmm. was Sitar on Fire.
Yeah.
Is that a title you picked out?
Darbar is very kind. So Darbar made these interesting decisions. but my intention was to let the music flower, and the colors of the music that I wanted to play, that kind of represents the morning's ragas on fire, they say. Mm. That's the fire. It's a beautiful fire. It's not the fire that hurts.
It's the fire of the first light of morning.
It's a fire of passion.
Yeah.
Passion. Because music, after all, is an expression of passion. And as artists, it's our duty to be good enough so we can read our own passions and to be well-versed in the art of playing so that we do not become obstructions in our own expression of passion.
Now, tell me if I'm right, that essentially Indian classical music, at the very heart of it, mm-hmm. is the human voice.
Of course it is.
And that all elements of it, where no matter what instrument or percussive instrument you're playing, is about trying to get that
flow.
Voice and that
yes,
flow through.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And the instrumentalist is always bound by the limitations of the instrument. Mm. Look, I play the sitar. The sitar is played by strokes which are intermittent creations of sound. Now just think, I need to make a curvy sound, which we call the mid, especially in the alap. And my sitar is limited by very short length of sound per stroke.
Yeah.
So how do I get a long image? It's something that is a very interesting thing. So you have to have a sitar that supports your thought process. That's very, very important. You just can't play, take any sitar and start playing and expect that you're going to get the best response from yourself.
Mm.
It's not possible. The sitar has to be harmonious to your nature of needs. Once that is there, you are confident. With the confidence, imagine the source of your sound, the source of my sound as a sitar player, is the destruction of a curved musical phrase.
Yeah.
So I have to float carefully.
So you're really playing on the edge, you know.
If I think about it,
yeah.
It's a terrifying experience. If I
yeah.
don't think about it and just
yeah.
try to enjoy the pleasure,
yeah.
it's immense pleasure.
And so let's listen to Rag Lalit with Pandit Buddhaditya Mukherjee on sitar, and he's accompanied by Somen Nandi on tabla.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. A trio, a quintet and an octet for this first couple of hours or so by, respectively, Arensky, Shostakovich and Schubert. As for Arensky, he was a generation on from Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky was his friend and mentor too. And Arensky's career was a glittering one, but it was short, gambling and drinking taking their toll. The players are the Egner Trio in concert in Sydney, in the first of Arensky's two piano trios. And to my ears, Tchaikovsky's spirit hovers over this, as do the spirits of Brahms and Mendelssohn. It's from 1894, so the year after Tchaikovsky died.